All right, everyone. We'd like to say good morning, and welcome to New Kingdom Fellowship Church, where Jesus Christ is the main attraction. Amen, amen. We're so thankful to God to have each and every one of you here with us. We thank you that God has led us and blessed us to wake up and see another day that was not promised to us. We know that it's raining outside. We saw a little lightning outside. I got some storms going. But one thing about it, the storms and winds may blow, but one thing, we know that who's in control. We know who can say to the storm, say what? Peace, be still. We're so thankful that God, he is in control. He's sovereign no matter what we went through this week that led us up to this point. But because he lives, we know that we can face tomorrow. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading will come from this morning for just a quick devotion. Will come from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. We know that we are in the, we will say, the Christmas season, the Christmas spirit. But we do have to remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. So we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And then afterward, we will have a prayer by Brother Turner. Amen. We have our opening prayer by Brother Turner. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen and amen. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Amen. At this time, we'll now have our prayer by our very own Brother Turner. We're going to ask that we unmute the computer, please.
This morning.
Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
This morning, our Heavenly Father, it's again and again, become a servant.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
Thee for this last night laying down this morning, Lord.
Thank
Thee for this day, Lord, when I promised to. Oh, Lord, just bless the sick and show them, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, just touch and move the pain from their body, Lord. Touch and heal them. Oh, Lord, just lead them, guide them where you think shouldn't have them be, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lord, just give them more strength and courage to go on your name, Lord. Yes. Oh, Lord, just bless New Kingdom Fellowship, Lord. Oh, Lord, bless each member one by one and bless all together, Lord. Oh, Lord, just help us be just where you see and shouldn't have us be, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, just lead us and guide us in where you see and shouldn't have us be, Lord. Oh, Lord, just bless the service throughout the day, Lord, here and everywhere, Lord. All the blessing that you Christ again. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so very much,
yeah.
Brother Turner. This time, we'll have a welcome by Sister Reed. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
All God is good, is worthy to be praised. We thank God for blessing him us to see another day. We want to welcome everybody to join in the fellowship this morning. We may be at the houses, but we're still at church. So we're still going to praise the Lord. We welcome you to praise him, lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless everybody.
Amen.
Welcome.
Amen.
Love. Thank you. God bless.
Awesome. And if we can get a response or just to hear a voice, Sister Freddie Lopez. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here, and we thank you for that wonderful welcome. We're in the house of God, and when we're not in the house of God, we're together. For two or three are gathered, there he's in the midst.
Yes.
So we thank you all, and we accept this welcome.
Amen. Thank you so very much. So very much, Sister Lopez. As I said, we have some more members that are joining us. We're grateful that each and every one of you are online with us this morning. Amen. And we do like to acknowledge, just in case if there's anyone that might have a guest, a visitor that is with you in your presence and that we are not, we don't know. I was told we had a couple of visitors last Sunday. I do apologize for that. But do we have any visitors If we have any visitors, please unmute your phone, and so we can hear and you can introduce us to your guests. Okay, I don't believe that we have any visitors today. We do have, just panning the room here on Zoom, we do have Minister Reed with us, Sister Shanice Jones, Sister Reed, Brother Turner, Sister Lopez, Brother Smith, Brother Duncan, Sister Berry, Brother Wright, Sister Tremper, Sister Diane Jones, Sister Cathcart, Sister Patsy Brown, and we also have Sister Kathy, and I believe we have one more person. I'm not familiar with this. I think this number also is Minister Reed's number, possibly. So that's who we have on the call this morning. Amen and amen. We also have my beautiful family with us. Say hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
All right, all right.
I do have a friend of mine who's on the phone with me on Duo. She's actually listening in. Her name is Quenisha.
Quenisha?
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. We're so glad to have you. And welcome to New Kingdom Fellowship Church, where Jesus Christ is the main attraction. We're so grateful that you are able to join us. And you are at the right place at the right time to receive a blessing from the Lord. We ask that you'll please continue to join us. And when we hopefully will get back into the building, we hope to see you there at New Kingdom Fellowship Church. We're so grateful to have you. Thank you so very much. And thank you, Brother Smith, for your guest. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. All right. At this time, we're going to move on within our service, and we're going to ask that you would please give our speaker your undivided attention, our associate minister, Minister Michael Reed. We're so grateful that he is able to join us on today, and that he was able to travel safely, as well as Brother Duncan and Sister Kirvin, who's out on the road. We thank God for his traveling grace, because there's so much going out there on the road. I'm hearing stories all the time when I talk to our brothers and sisters that's out there, and I tell you, it's a blessing for them to make it back home. We're so grateful for God's traveling grace. And so, Minister Reed, he's going to come to us, and he's going to give us the word that God has given him. And we just want to keep him encouraged as well, continue to keep pressing on, continue to keep studying, to show thyself approved unto God as a workman needed, not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And at this time, I know that everyone is on mute, but if you please raise your right hand as a token of respect for Minister Reed, that he will come the way that God will have him to come. Amen and amen.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone. It's been quite a while since I've seen many of you or had an opportunity to speak to you. On this wet and rainy Sunday morning, it's still like sunshine outside when you know who's still on the throne. Thank you for this opportunity. And I want to just say a little quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity in life. I pray that the meditation of our hearts and the word of our mouth be pleasing in your sight. These things we pray and ask. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. This morning, our text will come from 2 Chronicles, verses 3 through 6. And if you have your Bibles or you pull it up on the phone, would you read with me? We're going to start 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. Now, for a long season, Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. and nation was destroyed as nation, and city as city. For God did vex them with all adversity. I want to talk to you today on God's divine disruption. You know, this coronavirus, ever since it came to be last year, it really came upon the United States in February. This coronavirus has disrupted everything. It's disrupted government, it's disrupted sports, it's disrupted the entertainment industry, it's disrupted jobs. Just the other day I heard of a well-established restaurant in North Dallas that's closing, that's been around for years. It's disrupted our lives. It's even disrupted church. I want to submit to you that this is no accident. Some people want to dismiss what I'm about to say. They want to blame China for this. Yes, it may have started in China, but Pastor and anyone else who studied the Bible know that God uses mankind sometimes to punish us when we have turned away from him. This virus, if all you see is the virus and what's happening, then you don't see all there is to see. You know, before everything happened in the world that we can visibly see, that which is invisible and spiritual comes before that. There is spiritual connotations to this. This is God's way of trying to wake us up. Mankind has moved away from God to the point that, you know, sometimes God allows distress to come into our lives to draw us closer to him. Individually, as a city, as a state, as a nation in the world, we have pushed God to the side. We have decided to do our own thing. We turn to everything except God, and God is trying to get our attention with this virus that has caused so much disruption. This is a divine disruption. In this world, we have gotten so far away from God, while at the same time claiming to be godly people. But what we have been taught and what we are teaching and what we are doing is totally ungodly. Who would have thought that in the world today, everything that's good and godly would be called evil? That preachers preaching the true gospel from the pulpit, they would dare call God's word hate speech. And there's a reason for this. And we can go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and let's go to verse 3. And it says, now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God. That doesn't mean that God does not exist. God always has existed and always will. What this means is we have turned away from the true God and replaced him with idols that we call God. And idols can be sophisticated. Idols can be people. Idols can be things. Idol can be relationships. Idols can even be politics. And I'll give you an example of that, is how people will get into a fist fight to defend their favorite politician. But the same people that call themselves Christians, Pastor, will not stand up when somebody blasphemes God. In other words, that tells me that you've put people on this earth on the same level or above God. That's an idol. We have gotten to the place that we can appreciate and give thanks to everyone except God. We live in a society in which we've replaced God with our own understanding. We think we know it all. I mean, it's gotten to the point with people, and I'm talking about even people in the church, who they think they're worshiping God. We know the scriptures to quote. We know at just the right time to say hallelujah and amen. And we use God like a loop around the city. We want him to be close enough to be convenient, but far enough away that we don't have to be bothered with him. We want to say hallelujah and thank you, Lord, on Sunday, but we don't want your direction and guidance on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And, you know, back in the Old Testament, whenever there was sin and people moved away from God, there was instant judgment. Fire and brimstone rained down from the sky, and all types of things happened. Well, you know, God doesn't punish us like that anymore since the death of Jesus Christ. It changed, but that can be passive punishment from God in today's world. The coronavirus, I submit to you, is passive punishment and a warning to come back to him. God wants us to come back close to him. That's the first reason for the problems we have today. The second reason is, without teaching priests, doesn't mean that there aren't preachers, because we have many preachers. But are they teaching the true gospel? Not many anymore. When there's a mist in the pulpit, there will be a fog in the pew. Because far too many preachers are preaching a feel-good message, a message designed to allow people to hear what they want to hear so as to keep them satisfied and coming to church. There are preachers that are afraid to preach the true gospel, or some, believe it or not, hadn't been taught properly in seminary. And so they may think they're preaching gospel, but they're not. We have time out for sermonettes. It's time out for being concerned about the feelings of people. When people, we're talking about hurting someone's feelings because we're preaching against sin, against lifestyle that are wrong. And we give them a feel-good message designed to tickle their ears, and we're allowing them to go to hell thinking they're saved. We have preachers who, instead of preaching to people to conform them to God's standard, they preach to them to make them feel good in their own personal standard. There are two opinions in the world, God and man. And man is always wrong. God is always right. Unless we get back to preaching the true gospel, and unapologetically, unless we find some Holy Ghost guts and preach the gospel in a manner that's so strong and powerful that people know that God has spoken here today, we are not doing our jobs, and we are adding to the disservice to the people and allowing them to drift away from God and not even realize that's what they're doing. We can make things sound good, And I have you know, I've heard some guys preach, and I'm sitting there listening to what they're saying, and I understand fully what this scripture says, and without a teaching priest, because what they were talking was a bunch of gibberish. That you throw every now and then, you throw God's name in there to make it sound good. But everything that sounds good is not the true gospel. Therefore, the world drifts away from God. And, you know, I've often told this story about an older gentleman that I used to work with. He asked me a question about a certain lifestyle, and he said that he didn't see anything wrong with it. Now, this is a man that's 10 years older than me, or close to 10 years older, and he's been to church. But he had no idea that certain lifestyles and certain things were wrong in the eyes of God until I took my Bible and read it to him. That right there is a true indicator that people are not being taught right when you have a man that's in his 70s and he goes to church. But a key scripture about life he didn't understand or know about, and he thought certain things that are being said to be wrong was living correctly. We have an issue today, and that issue is strong-willed people who do not want to listen to the truth. Therefore, we have too many preachers in churches that basically tell people what they want to hear and leave the true gospel off. God does not stutter one bit in his word. And when we go against God's word, when we say our way is the right way, the world's way is the right way, then we call God a liar. And you know how we feel when somebody calls us a liar. Then how do you think God feels? It says in scripture, God did vex them with all adversity. What this means is God allowed, and he's saying here that he allowed. If you look at the end of verse 6, he's saying that he allowed all these problems to happen. There was no peace in the home. When people came home, there was no peace. When they went out, there was no peace. Nation against nation, city against city. Look at the situation we have today. We have a record murder rate in every major city in the United States. Everywhere I travel in that truck, it's the same thing. It's like a carbon copy of what I see on the news in Dallas. Murder, mayhem, rape. Crooked politicians. Crooked pastors. It's things going on in the world now that I never would have imagined would happen. There's no peace. In a city like Chicago or New Orleans or Los Angeles, people have no peace. People are afraid to drive down certain streets. People have no peace in their home. Husband and wife fighting against each other. Children disobeying their parents. See, we have decided that we don't want God because we don't want to obey God, because God, if we obey God, then we're going to have to lay down all of our favorite sins. We're going to have to put aside those bad attitudes. Some people just love having a bad attitude. You know, have you noticed there are people that love to cuss people out? People that love to start confusion. People do not want to put down their sins. They don't want to obey God, so they push God off. And God says, okay, so you don't want me, okay? Then I'm going to step aside. But there's going to be a vacuum. And you know how the world is. Something is going to fill that void. Something is going to fill that vacuum. And what fills it is something that we do not want. This coronavirus and all the confusion that comes with it is just something that we didn't want is filling that vacuum. And we better start to get right with God and get serious and get back close to God. We better start letting God define our lives as he wants to. God wants to define what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. Yes, he does. God wants to define what marriage is and what it's not. Yes, he does. God wants to define how children are to react and obey their parents. Yes, he does. God wants to define how government treats people. And yes, government, because God created government. We Christians need to stop talking this thing about we don't need to discuss government, because we do, because God created government. Government is people. And if the people in government are evil and twisted, then it's not going to work right. And the people are not going to be treated fairly. One of the biggest problems that we have in this country is we allow unholy, ungodly men and women to govern over us in our cities, our counties, our state, and our nation. God wants everyone to come close to him, and including our leader, which is why we should pray for them instead of call them names. God wants us to come back to him and allow him to run our lives as it's supposed to be. We have kowtowed to the worldly culture, and we've allowed the world culture to come into the church instead of the church affecting the culture. We are supposed to conform to God's word in the church and then take it publicly. The church seems to be afraid to step out there and put our opinion out there, as every other institution does in this world. God wants to be in charge of everything on every level. God wants us to be as prominent out there as the media is. We keep the word of God inside the walls of the church, and God wants us to spread that word out to the world so we can affect the culture. The church has failed, and it didn't just start. It's been going on for the last 300 or 400 years. I've been doing some research and studying, and there are some people starting to admit, I'm talking about some big Christian leaders starting to admit that the church has failed over the last 200 or 300 years. Even some saying that the church never should have tolerated slavery. The church never should have tolerated Jim Crow. A lot of things the Christian church tolerated is what brought judgment on America and the world. And this is what we're seeing today with coronavirus. And if we don't get right and get close to God and get back to him and get back to preaching the true gospel in the church unapologetically and without fear of what the world thinks, then something much worse than coronavirus will come. God will let the situation get as bad and as chaotic as it has to be to get us close to him. Let me put it another way. Parents, everyone who has children knows that sometimes you have to make things hard on them to get their attention. You have to disrupt the natural order of things in the house, you know, that they're playing. They're going out, they're games. You have to disrupt them and put fear in their heart in order to get their attention. That's all God's trying to do. God's not trying to be mean to us. He's trying to get our attention. The world has drifted too far from God. Too far from God. We worship everything except him. We worship our favorite football team. We worship cars. We worship people, music. There are people that can tell you every stat of every one of their favorite athletes. But indeed, and what's so hard about this is these are Christians, but they can't tell you any scripture. They can't tell you any of the attributes of God. They can't even tell you what the Trinity is. And they're supposed to be Christian. Some of them, you say Trinity, they say, what is that? That's how far we've drifted. That people who call themselves Christians, excuse me, do not know anything about God. We have got to, as a church, as Christians, wake up the world and let them know what they really need. And what you really need is not to go out and buy that new Cadillac or go out and find you a side chick or go out and find you a side dude. What you don't need is more money in the bank. You need to get closer to the Heavenly Father. And he's given us a path to him, Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin child, of a virgin teen, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for us, for our sins, in a substitutionary way, for our sins. That is your path to the Father. If you don't know Jesus Christ, get to know Jesus. And if you've been playing, stop playing. Time out for playing. The message I want to convey today is we have drifted so far from God that he is now allowing things. If you'll notice, the last pandemic we had, the H1N1 swine flu, it was nothing like this one. And it did not panic people the way this has done. The last great pandemic we had was in 1918. All of a sudden, we come to 2020, and this has been one of those years. We all know that. This has been one of those years. We've got people closing their businesses, people losing their jobs, people losing their homes behind this. We've got people passing from this COVID at a high rate. And we all knew this day was going to come, Pastor, that God was going to start to really get tough with them. You know how it is when you warn your children softly the first two or three times. And they continue being hard-headed. Now you got to get tough. Now you got to really lay some heat on them. That's what God is doing now. And this COVID is just the beginning if we don't turn back to him. He's going to lay some heat on us in this world. And he's going to start in the church. Because it's our responsibility to let the world know. We should be influencing the culture, not the media, not even the government. The church should be influencing the culture. Even in the public school system, if you want my opinion, every school in America should be run by Christians, from kindergarten to the highest university. We got too much corruption in our school. We've got too much of the wrong things being taught in our school. They teach everything in our schools except God. It's time out for that. It's time to get all the way back to our Heavenly Father. It's time for us to realize where we need to be. It's time for us to stop being ashamed of the gospel. I know people who, if someone on the job would ask them, are you a Christian? They would fumble around with the question as though they are ashamed to say yes. I don't care who it is. I'm more than quick and in a hurry to tell you that I'm a Christian. And if you ask me some scripture, I'll give them that too. But we Christian people have got to stop being timid. Timidity is not going to win souls to Christ, and timidity is not going to change this wayward world. But there is hope. The God that creates the disruption is also the same God that alleviates the disruption, the despair, the lack of peace in the world. It says, in verse 4, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. We have a loving God who's long-suffering and forgiving. It's never too late to repent and turn back to God. That's a message that we need to preach and teach to the people. And I pray and hope that all preachers in the land will start to do this. It's not hopeless. Not yet. We need to seek him while we can still find him. We need to turn back to him. If we seek him in our trouble, he will let us find him. I heard a story that was told by Dr. Tony Evans. And he said that when he first met his wife, who passed away back in the spring from cancer, he said she was moving a little slow for him. You know, he wanted her to get close to him. So in Baltimore, Maryland, where he's from, they had a roller coaster ride that was, I forget the name of it, but it was one of those scary rides. And so he went to that roller coaster, to that amusement park, and bought two tickets and got on the ride. He said that ride was so scary that by the end of the ride, you would have thought there was only one person sitting in the seat. She was so close to him. His point was, he created a disruption to get her to move closer to him. That's what God is doing right now. That's what God is doing. And I hope and pray that the people of this city, this state, and this nation will see this. I've been hearing some people talk lately, and I think many people are waking up to the message, but still there are many who are not. It saddens me to see people turning to man for a solution to this coronavirus problem and not one time bowing down on their knees to pray. It troubles me that there may be people out there who would dismiss a message like this, saying that, nah, that's too religious as far as the COVID goes. Again, God uses whatever is necessary to get our attention. And I pray and hope that each and every one of you will spread this message to another person that you know. And that all of us will step up and spread the true gospel and let people know that the answer to all the world's problems and disruption is Jesus Christ. Because if we do not, what's coming next, you don't even want to know. I already have heard talk that there is a virus out there that's not in America yet, that's worse than coronavirus. I heard that a couple of months ago. I hope it's not true. But if one thing doesn't get our attention, God has something else that will. God has delivered many from the sickness. And Pastor, I'm thankful to God every day that he has healed you. I'm thankful to God that he healed everyone. And now I pray that God will heal everyone's heart. And I pray that this message will help someone to understand that God is serious about us getting back close to him. God lets things happen for a reason. And there's, like I said, there's more to this coronavirus than you think. There is a spiritual warfare going on all around us that we do not see. And we really need to learn more about what we can't see than what we can see. Because that which we can see, that's the real, real world. And that's really what determines what goes on in this world. That determines everything that we see and hear. In the spiritual realm, there's warfare going on. And we need to make sure we're on the right side of the battle. God has disrupted our lifestyle. He's disrupted the natural or the preferred order of things for a reason, to get our. May God bless you and keep you. I hope that something has been said that will help you. And this is a message that at a later date, I might want to re-preach this message, because there's so much more that I wanted to research and find, but at the time I just couldn't. But just remember this, God loves you, God is long-suffering, God has given us a chance to make things right, but that's not always going to be the case, and time is winding up, 2020 has been a tough year, and it's been a tough year for a reason. God wants us to come back close to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray and ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that mankind on this earth will wake up and come closer to Thee. I pray, Father in heaven, that You give every minister of the gospel the courage to stand up and preach and teach the truth. I pray, Father, that You give people the courage to accept the truth. Because it's hard for some people on this earth to accept the truth that their way is not the right way, but Yours is. I pray and ask Heavenly Father that You would heal everyone still affected by COVID. I pray that You will lift us up and bless us to go into a new year with better things happening for each and every one of us. Pray, Heavenly Father, for Your blessings upon New Kingdom Fellowship Church, and that we can be a true beacon of light in the city of Dallas, that we all grow spiritually, and that we all grow and have the courage to be unapologetic for the true gospel, that we love and treat each other right, as the church family should, that we cut out bickering in our church and amongst our family members, and that all of us at New Kingdom Fellowship Church will come to realize that it's time out for playing and foolishness. I pray for Bishop Pritchett, I pray for Sister Pritchett, for their continued healing, and for Rachel and her continued healing, and for all the sick and shut in. I pray for our pastor and his beautiful family. I pray, Father, that You bless them mightily, and that You keep Your arm of protection around them. I pray, Father, for each and every member of the church. I pray and ask all these things in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the healing, Sister Wright, that she will soon learn how to walk again and get back on her feet. I pray that when we can come back to the building, that she'll be the first one through the door. I pray and ask these things all in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, and Savior. Amen and amen.